Shreyan, a first-class man with full knowledge of religious principles. Itaraha, the subordinate man. Tat tat, that. Ihate, performs. Saha, he, the great man. Yat, whatever. Pramanam, as evidence or as the right thing. Kurute, accepts. Lokaha, the general public. Tat, that. Anuvartate, follows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the mass of people follow the example of a leader in society and imitate his behavior. They accept as evidence whatever the leader accepts. Purport by Prabhupada. Although Ajamila was not punishable, the Yamadutas were insisting on taking him away to Yamraj for punishment. This was adharma, contrary to religious principles. The Vishnudutas feared that if such religious acts were allowed, the management of human society would be spoiled. In modern times, the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to introduce the right principles of management for human society. But unfortunately, the governments of Kali Yuga do not properly support the Hare Krishna movement because they do not appreciate its valuable service. The Hare Krishna movement is the right movement for ameliorating the fallen condition of human society. And therefore, governments and public leaders in every part of the world should support this movement and completely rectify humanity's sinful condition. We'll quickly see the text number 5 and 6 also. Yasyange shira adhaya loka loka sapiti nirvrutah swayam dharmam adharmam va nahi vedayatha pashuhu sakatham nyapirtatmanam krutametram achetanam visram bhavaniyo bhutanam sangruno dogdur marhati. Translation: people in general are not very advanced in knowledge by which to discriminate between religion and irreligion. The innocent, unenlightened citizen is like an ignorant animal, sleeping in peace with its head on the lap of its master, faithfully believing in the master's protection. If a leader is actually kind-hearted and deserves to be the object of a living entity's faith, how can he punish or kill a foolish person who has fully surrendered in good faith and friendship? Purport. The Sanskrit word Vishwastaghat refers to one who breaks faith or causes a breach of trust. The mass of people should always feel security because of the government's protection. Therefore, how regrettable it is for the government itself to cause a breach of trust and put the citizens in difficulty for political reasons. We actually saw during the partition days in India that although Hindus and Muslims were living together peacefully, manipulation by politicians suddenly arose feelings of hatred between them, and thus the Hindus and Muslims killed one another over politics. This is a sign of Kali Yuga. In this age, animals are kept nicely sheltered, completely confident that their masters will protect them, but unfortunately, as soon as the animals are fat, they are immediately sent for slaughter. Such cruelty is condemned by Vaishnavas like the Vishnudutas. Indeed, the hellish conditions already described await the sinful men responsible for such sufferings. One who betrays the confidence of a living entity, who takes shelter of him in good faith, whether that living entity be a human being or an animal, is extremely sinful. Because such betrayals now go unpunished by the government, all of human society is terribly condemned. The people of this age are therefore described as Mandaha Sumanda Matayo, Manda Bhagyahi Upadrutaha. As a consequence of such sinfulness, men are condemned Mandaha. Their intelligence is unclear, Sumanda Matayo. They are unfortunate, Manda Bhagya, and therefore they are always disturbed by many problems, Upadrutaha. This is their situation in this life, and after death, they are punished in the hellish conditions. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। सो आई वेलकम यू ऑल फॉर दिस श्रीमद्भागवतम क्लास एंड देर आर मेनी सीनियर सिटिंग हियर and sorry to have taken this audacity to talk in front of you. There are many seniors here. Hare Krishna. So seeking your blessings so that something tangible can come out which will make sense for your spiritual life. Hare Krishna. So the translation of this verse says, the mass of people follow the example of a leader in society and imitate his behavior. They accept as evidence whatever the leader accepts. There's a similar verse in Srimad Bhagavad Gita also, which says, Yadad Acharati Shrestas Tatta Devete Rojana Sayam Sayat Pramanam Kurite Lokastha Danu Vartate. So whatever great man follows, I mean does, the ordinary people blindly follow, and that becomes a culture. So here in 1940s and 50s, there was this famous Hollywood actor, Nicolas Cage. That's when first time in the world tobacco was introduced. And Maharaj says in one of his lectures that the way he was, smoking, he looked so sophisticated. The way he would, the cigarette would hang from his mouth. He would talk while smoking the cigarette on the phone to people all, or have relationships with women while smoking the cigarette. He would shoot people while smoking the cigarette. And millions of Americans and Europeans started smoking just by following his example. The way, how, it was so fascinating the way he would smoke the cigarette. And so that's when I said that tobacco was introduced in the world. And they, for advertisement, they used pregnant women, so that people will think that even pregnant women can smoke cigarette, smoke tobacco. That means it's very, very good, beneficial. And it was shared by a few devotees only, the video, wherein it is in black and white, where a pregnant woman happily, smokes the cigarette and gives a smile. And she says, to keep away a few cigarettes a day is good to keep the complications of pregnancy away. So that's why, so that means this, there's a explanation. The point here is the leaders betray their followers at the cost of their, for purpose of exploitation. It's smoking cigarette or consuming tobacco is as good as giving them poison and killing them. So here it says, the animal who has taken shelter of a master, he is sleeping peacefully on the lap of the master, having complete faith in his protection. But whereas the master is having planned to betray him, to slaughter him, to cut his throat. So this is that example of modern leaders who betray those their followers just to earn money, so-called flickering enjoyments in this world. And in that lecture, Maharaj says, if you say tell a lie loud enough and long enough, the lie becomes a so-called truth. If enough people accept that so-called truth, that truth becomes a culture. And if that culture it's passed from one generation to the next. That culture becomes a tradition, and then people are born into that tradition, and they live their lives by that tradition, and they make their decisions based on that tradition, when actually that tradition is based on a so-called culture, which is based on a so-called truth, which is actually a lie. So, yeah, so it's quite interesting when Maharaj says people are becoming drug addicts, alcoholics, suicidal, wasting their lives in greed for money and lust for sex, frustrated for intoxications. And this is considered to be culture in so-called high society. What is this nonsense culture? Culture is the humility, morality, and the wisdom of the heart expressed through lifestyles and arts. That is culture, not how you dress or what music you listen to. So this is the typical problem with democracy. Well, once His Grace Samananda Prabhu was giving the example of democracy. It's like a group of people is traveling by plane, and after entering that plane, they are saying, we don't like the pilot. Now we'll elect the pilot. And this guy, a co-person, co-pilot, co-passenger, will elect him as a pilot because he is a very handsome person. He is good looking. Therefore, he is fit to be pilot because he is good looking. So we'll elect him as our pilot and he'll let him fly. He'll fly our flight. So what will happen if such kind of person is elected as a pilot? Elected person becomes a pilot, the plane is doomed to crash. So similarly, Prabhupada says in the purport that democracy is where people elect, unqualified people elect unqualified leaders, and they expect peace and happiness based on sense gratification. So leader, one of our senior most leaders, ISKCON leaders, when he came to the Radha Gopinath temple for the first time on the plea of attending leadership seminar, the first statement is saying, I have not forgotten that statement made by that leader, particular person who gave that seminar. He said, a leader must be a servant of all. And who can be a servant? Only a devotee can be a servant of all. That means automatically a leader has to be a devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, he'll miss the point. His Holiness Swayam Bhagavan Keshav Maharaj was making that point. He was giving the example like how a person is driving early morning to his office in a car, and he comes across two people who are walking next to each other, after each other. And one person in the front was digging, and the second person behind him was putting back the dirt, putting back the soil on that hole. He couldn't resist himself. So he got down out of his car and said, what are you doing? What is this going on? He said, wow, we are government servants. We are doing our job. So what is this funny job? One person is just digging and another person is putting back the dirt there. So he said, no, can't you see we are doing plantation? So where is the plantation? So he said, wow, the person who is supposed to sow the seed, he is sick and he is absent. But we must carry out our jobs. We are so honest. We want to earn each penny that we earn. Work for each penny that we earn. So this is the problem with this modern civilization, that if a devotee, a leader is not a servant or a devotee, then he'll miss the point. He'll bring all the culture, the entire the civilization on a bodily platform. When a leader is not a devotee, then he becomes compassionate on the bodily level. So from contemporary history, we'll take a few examples. For the first time in the second century or something, this is about Samrat Ashok, when he was not so fortunate like Arjuna to have Krishna by his side, because Arjuna also had similar bodily level illusion that fight is not good, war is not good, killing is not good. So better for me is to take a begging bowl and beg and take sannyas or go in the forest and take sannyas or not do fighting. But Samraj or Ashok wasn't so fortunate like Arjun. So he thought, this is also a small compared to Mahabharat war, where 64 crore people, soldiers died. In his war of Kaling, which is today's Orissa, 1 lakh people died, and 1.5 lakhs were taken as war criminals, war prisoners. But then, to looking at that also, he became so depressed because he was on the bodily level. He thought, now killing is not good. But Shastra said, Kshatriya must kill to protect Dharma. But if a leader, a Kshatriya, becomes so-called non-violent, what will be the plight of people who are taking their shelter? So he saw a scene where a Buddhist monk was coming and feeding water to all those dying soldiers, and he thought, he is more compassionate, he is better off than me. Because I am killing and he is saving, so he is greater, he is better, he is greater than me. And then he thought, so no more killing. So he took sannyas, became Buddhist, and his daughter, his son, all his generations after that, so many people, so many Kshatriyas became Buddhist monks. And Orissa is just right the border where, you know, the foreign countries, the invaders started coming. When a Kshatriya gives up his true dharma, then irreligion pervades. They started getting ideas that now this is a free land. The leaders have become eunuchs. They are becoming, this is what we want. The Mughal invaders started invading. Second contemporary, we can look at the example of betrayal. Of course, this betrayal can be done by either leaders also or the subordinates also. So, it is said that an enemy cannot betray you, because as you already expect your enemy to try to bring you down, but only a trusted friend, acquaintance or family member can betray you, and that is what truly makes betrayal so hurtful and sad. So we have this example of Prithviraj Chauhan, who, being a leader, made a mistake of forgiving that enemy 8 times. I mean, there are different versions where say many times, but least is said 8 times, so we'll consider 8 times, which is also not small. I mean, not less. Forgiving an enemy 8 times is very dangerous, where R.A. Chanakya says a Kshatriya should never forgive his enemy even once. And this celebrated leader, he forgave Mohammad Gauri for 8 times, and 9th time he went back and brought as much, you know, thrice the soldiers, the Sena, and 9 times he was unfortunate to lose the battle to Mohammad Gauri. But his enemy didn't forgive him. He didn't think that he has forgiven me for 8 times, so at least I'll forgive him for one time at least. No, he didn't think like that. He used the same Chanakya Niti, and first thing he did is broke his eyes with red hot irons. And we have this, we know this example, that his best friend Chand Bardai, he went with him, and that's the history, that because he knew that if I can't defeat this guy for 8 times, that means he has got something which is higher than, beyond us. So he was knowing Shabdavedi Baan and the array, phalanxes of array, arranging them in just like Dronacharya was teaching. Abhimanyu was knowing this, but was not able to come out. So therefore he said, by fair means we can't defeat him, we have to apply unfair means. So he bribed his best friend, or they say his best brother-in-law or son-in-law or father-in-law, whoever. But in short, he was his best acquaintance, you can say, Jai Chand. So this time this betrayal happened, and he revealed everything, all his tactics, guerrilla war tactics, and he was able to defeat, Gauri was able to defeat Prithviraj Chauhan. So this incident, and second incident, which is like the latest one in contemporary history, where Mahadji Shinde was the Peshwa. He was like Bajirao Peshwa. The bravest was Bajirao Peshwe. And within his tenure of 20 years, he had fought 40 battles and not lost even single one. So they were, and he was like equally virtuous, equally valor, Mahadji Shinde. But he conquered Delhi, but never made his capital at Delhi. He underestimated where all his contemporary enemies, like the all Mughal rulers and all, they strategically made Delhi as their capital, but he underestimated the importance of capital. He was there in Maharashtra and Pune, even though conquering from south till Gwalior. So this is an example of, if a leader is not visionary, what can happen? After that, he is the one who had defeated British at the Battle of Goa, near Goa. This is the history. Entire British army was defeated, but he again made the same mistake of forgiving them, and they got chance to retreat to Mumbai, and there was this treaty of Mumbai. But anyways, these two incidences, Prithviraj Chauhan forgiving Gauri 8 times, and Mahadji Shinde underestimating the importance of Delhi, changed the course of history for India. Afterwards, after Mohammad Gauri, Prithviraj Chauhan, so much of invasion started and conversion started, demolition of temples and rebuilding of mosques on the same thing. That culture started from there, because there was no able leader, no Kshatriya, to protect the Dharma. And of course, Christian missionaries, when they forgive, that could have changed the entire course of history. But he forgave, and then Britishers, so many missionaries and destruction of Dharma again. So Maharaj also says another example, quotes in his lecture, that one of my god brothers from Germany, he told me how his family was one time friends with Hitler's number two man, Himmler. And Maharaj is saying, if anyone of you know about the regime he was following, the way he was one of the mastermind's demons that was responsible for ordering and murdering tens and millions of people, all innocent people. That was his work. But in his private life, he was considered to be such a cultured gentleman. He wore fine clothes, he had all the mannerisms of politeness, the etiquettes of speaking nicely and respectfully ways to others. He knew how to eat according to the very aristocratic manners. He was patron of fine arts. He loved classical music and gave so much charity to promote classical music and poetry and theater also. From every materialistic way of looking at what we consider a culture, he was a very cultured gentleman. He spoke sweetly, he did all the things that the high echelons and cultural society respects and adores. But in his heart, he was such a ruthless murderer that it slaughtered millions of innocent children, women and helpless men and tortured them. He was the mastermind plotting that plot of where 600 Jews, 6 million Jews were slaughtered and equally were tortured in the gas chambers and all. There was one more example of in the history, contemporary history, where a leader betrayed their followers. I shouldn't take his name on this public forum, but he was in 1950s, 50s to 70s. He was the president of the ruling party in China. And he had his strategy of his people going around in the country and taking surveys. In the name of surveys, they enlisted people who were for him and against him. You know, his strategies, his ways. It's like they were interviewing people, and what do you think, his strategy will work? What will not work? What will work? What do you think? And through that he would enlist the people who are against him, and his party people would systematically eliminate them. They made them disappear. So many people didn't know what happened to them. They just disappeared from the planet. And that comes to about 78 million, 7.8 crore people vanished from China. They were thinking in good faith, he is just taking a survey, or maybe he's taking inputs from us, and maybe he'll implement them in future, and maybe therefore we should elect him. In good faith, they gave this, and they didn't know that it was like the killer strategy for them, it turned out to be. So we have Yudhishthir Maharaj example, where, what to speak of killing, he cared for a dog also, where after taking Vanaprastha, they were retiring, and one by one, all his wife, his brothers, they were falling down because of several reasons. That's the history. But meanwhile, a dog came and started walking with him, and he became good friends to him. And then Indra came with his chariot and says he offered him to take him to heavens. He said, can this dog come with me? Because he's my friend, he has taken my shelter. He said, no, dog is not eligible in the heaven. You can come. Because this is for you, this offer is only for you. He said, no, if dog is not coming with me, then I'm not interested. Not at all interested. If dog goes, then only I go. If dog doesn't go, I'm not interested. Because he has taken shelter, he has put full faith in me. It's my responsibility to take care of him. And then we know that he turns out suddenly to be Dharmaraj. And he said, we were just testing you. So just to mention this, we have such a spectrum of leaders. This is a very vivid example of a leader even caring for his, even a dog. He was not even a human being. So the point here the Yamdutas are making is that they are trying to make them understand, the Yamdutas, the point the Vishnudutas are making, they're trying to make the Yamdutas understand that he is not eligible to be taken for punishment. He has chanted the holy names of the Lord, and therefore he is not. This is kind of adharma. If a person who is at the end of his life is chanting the holy name, and you are the representative of a Mahajan who is supposed to be a leader, a follower of dharma. So in his court, how can adharma rise? So, prajanam pitro yecha shastara sadhava sama. Yadisyateshu vaishamyam kamyanti sharanam praja. They're saying a king, a leader should be, number one, should be father, like a father. He should be instructor. He should give them good instructions which are good for their welfare from shastras. Third, he should be endowed with good qualities. And fourth, he should be equal to all, not partial, no favoritism. If he has opposite characteristics, yadisyateshu vaishamyam, and exhibit partiality, then where will the citizens go for protection? So basically Vishnudutas made five arguments with them. First of all is, they said, Ajamil has atoned for millions of lifetimes of sin just by chanting the holy name once. Vivashaha means helplessly he has chanted. Therefore, he has already atoned for all the sins worth millions of lifetimes. Second argument they put forward was chanting the holy name is the best process for atonement for a person like Ajamil, like a thief, a drunkard, a betrayer, one who indulges in sex life with the wife of his guru, one who kills a brahmana, a woman, a king, his father, or cows, And all the other sinful men, whatever you can think of, they can be purified just by chanting. I mean, they can be, this atonement can be for them. And he has already done that. Third argument they put forward is that by following the rituals or undergoing atonement, sinful men do not become as fully purified as they by chanting the holy names of the Lord once. Because such chanting, one gets reminded of name, fame, qualities, attributes, pastimes and paraphernalia of the Lord. Guna upalabhankam. And fourth argument they put forward is, it completely purifies. Whereas the atonement, so-called atonements, there are different atonements. Guru namcha lagunamcha, guru nicha lagunicha, prayas chittani papanam, gyatvo kani maharshivi. All these atonements, like the great, there are heaviest, greater atonement for heaviest sin, and severe for and lighter atonement for lighter sins, they are described in the scriptures. But even after doing all these atonements, one's mind again runs towards material activities. Whereas by chanting the holy names of the Lord, it uproots even the desire to sin. Not even the propensity to sin, propensity to indulge in sinful activity is removed. And there comes the very famous shloka, Sankhetam Pariyasyam Stobanam Helanam Evava Vaikuntham Namam Grahanam Ashegana Haram Vidu. While indicating someone else, while joking, for musical entertainment, or out of neglect, if one chants the holy name of the Lord, it destroys one's unlimited sins and desires. So, not just unlimited sins, but the desires to sin again afterwards. Just like the other atonements, taking bath in rivers and all, and Ganges. It destroys the sin till that period, but the propensity remains as it is. It's just like Kunjara Shaucha. The elephant takes bath and again comes out, and again becomes dirty. Whereas the chanting uproots entire desire, even the desire to sin again, vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light, since it has inconceivably great power. And then, next argument they did, bhakti destroys even the root of sin, namely desire. Austerity, charity, vows and other such methods destroy sin verily, but they cannot uproot the material desire in the heart. The propensity to sin they cannot uproot. However, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, it destroys. And then, next they do give two analogies. One is of dry grass and another is of medicine. So they say, Agyanat athva gyanat uttama shloka namayat sankirtam agam pumso dahed edho yathanala. Just as fire burns to ashes all dry grass, so the chanting of the holy names of the Lord destroys all the sins, burns all the sins of the sinful person. And just as powerful medicine, even if you don't know the effect of the powerful medicine, but you take that medicine nevertheless, it acts, it gives its effect. So therefore then, this was happening before the Amdutas and Ajamila. So he knew, so he then, they released him from the clutches of Yamdutas, and he thanks them profusely, and then he resolves, okay, that I'll endeavor now, having gotten this opportunity, I'll completely control my mind, life and senses, and will strive so that I do not again drown myself in this deep darkness and ignorance. Second resolution it is now I shall disentangle myself from material bondage, which has been caused by the Lord's Maya in the form of a woman. Now I shall give up all lusty desires and free myself from illusion. I shall become a merciful, well-wishing friend to all living entities and will always absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. And the last resolution, he said, I shall not fall victim again to the false lures of material sense gratification, and I shall give up the false conception of I and mine. I'll fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna through the process of hearing and chanting. And we know then Ajamila goes to Haridwar, takes shelter at the Vishnu temple, and he again, after some time, he again sees the same Vishnu Dutas who had come to save him from Yamdutas. And so Shukdev Goswami, at the end, in the Falashruti, he says, the chanting gives permanent purification of the heart. By chanting, the mind does not become attached to material action. By other processes, the mind becomes contaminated by rajas and tamas. And last point in Falashruti, Shukdev Goswami says, one who hears or describes this confidential historical narration with faith and devotion, no longer doomed to hellish life, he is not approached by the Yamdutas, and he is respectfully received and worshipped in Vishnu Loka. So, Shukdev Goswami then says, even Ajamila attained Vaikuntha, then what to speak of one who faithfully chants the holy name? Mriyamano Haner Nama Grunan Puropacharitam Ajamilopi Agadhama Kim Utta Shraddha Grunan. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamila chanted the holy name of the Lord, and although the chanting was directed towards his son, nevertheless he returned home back to Godhead. Therefore, Kim Utta Shraddha Grunan. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return back to Godhead? So Shukdev Goswami summarizes and says, Ajamila chanted without faith, and then what will happen if one chants with faith? He chanted while dying, then what will happen if one chants while living? Ajamila chanted to indicate his son, then what will happen if one chants to indicate Lord directly? Last but not the least, he said, Ajamila was most sinful, and what will happen if a person becomes sinless by becoming a devotee, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and maintaining four regulative principles. What will happen? So, we also chant His Grace. Akinchan Krishna Prabhu was giving one purport in this subject matter. He said, we also chant, but we don't get that effect as Ajamila did. Because, he said, why? Is because the aspect of desperation, chanting desperately, helplessly. He chanted helplessly because he saw the Yamdutas before him, and he desperately was trying to take shelter of something somehow. So he indirectly chanted, calling the name of his son, he chanted. But because it was a helpless call, so therefore if we add this helpless call, helplessness aspect in our chanting, in our sadhana, then we also can get the same benefit. Hare Krishna, I think I have finished all my points. So if there are any questions, we'll take, otherwise we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Sorry to have, yeah.
So this is like comment, like very nice class from beginning, like you mentioned about misguided leaders in the current society, giving different examples. And later also, like very nicely you stressed on the importance of the holy name. And I just was going through the purport, like Prabhupada stresses, you also mentioned about Vishwasghat, regarding animals, Prabhupada is mentioning. So one observation I had, like one time we were in one yatra, So almost a 100 meter, 200 meter distance, there was a whole range of birds. Like mainly, I could understand it's a poultry farm. So I think to that long distance, very densely going, I think some ducks were there. Ducks and mainly ducks, not hens. And only two people were guiding them. One was behind and another was standing ahead. And they were moving and they were very systematically following. So I was just thinking, like we also had in our Goshala, like just for taking care of the worms and others. So it's not easy to catch or even touch a hen or duck personally. Now they are very quick and they are very afraid. But how nicely these people were taking care, because they were raising them from very beginning birth, and they were taking very nice care. So they could relate with them and were there completely in discipline. But it's very unfortunate, as Prabhupada mentions, that animals keep faith on the humans and they send them to slaughterhouses. So that's a very misguided leadership, and that's actually going on in the name of ignorance in the human civilization. Just this observation I just thought of.
And Prabhupada says in this purport is because of betrayal, so much of betrayal, there is suffering for the leaders. Because of the leaders, everyone else also suffers. And he relates this to the 1.1.10, Manda Sumanda Matoya Manda Bhagya Upadruta. As a consequence of such sinfulness, men are condemned, Manda, they have become Manda, and their intelligence has become unclear, Sumanda Matoya. They are unfortunate, Manda Bhagya, and therefore they are always disturbed by many problems, Upadruta. This is their situation in this life, and after their death, they are also punished in hellish conditions. So, furthermore, hellish suffering is also waiting for them. It's very dangerous situation actually.
Yeah, like we see here, like we are breaking the confidence of the animals. So their faith is disturbed, and we break their faith. So eventually, the reaction we will also get. Like we will also, our
Correct.
faith will, we will not be able to keep faith. Our faith will be always broken here. So the reaction is there, certain.
Thank you so much. Any other comment or question by anyone? Okay, so we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.